Welcome to an IFR Refresher podcast. IFR Refresher, a monthly review of IFR rules and procedures designed to hone your skills and reinforce your knowledge. In support of our WeatherWise feature in the June issue of IFR Refresher, editor Meredith Saney chats with Bob Barron Sr., CEO of XM parent company Barron Services.
All right, so there's all this weather information that's out there for pilots. There's a lot of relatively, as far as aviation goes, inexpensive ways that pilots can tap into this today. And of course, there's lots of very, very detailed, expensive ways that pilots can tap into it also. Tell us, in your opinion, what is the best and most economical way for a GA pilot to access and use XM weather data in the cockpit?
Well, the real power of the XM weather data stream is the fact that it's all navigated. It's all very specific as to latitude and longitude. So its display with navigation systems is what drives the value. So what we're pleased with is that there are a huge number of choices whereby folks can pick their navigation systems and also be able to implement the XM data stream. There are PDA solutions, Anywhere Weather, for instance, Control Vision and NavAir both have PDA type of solutions where you can have both your navigation information and your weather information integrated onto a single screen. There are many others that have tablet solutions where you've got not only navigation, but you've got approach plates, and the weather information is easily integrated into the tablets or the larger size, both uncertified and certified. And for those who want a certified solution, it's practically everybody. Garmin's complete suite of avionics facilitate our weather. Avidyne, Rockwell Collins, Honeywell Bendix King, weather is available on all of those units. So it really becomes more a question of what navigation system do you want and then adding weather to it.
I see. What are some things that you can get from XM that you could not get from another solution?
The ground-based, the ADS-B type of approach where you're uplinking from ground-based stations has some inherent limitations in that coverage is limited. Not only aerial coverage, you'd have to fly from one existent uplink point, then start receiving from another uplink point. But it also has substantial challenge associated with what altitude you're at. You typically can't pick up any information at all until you're at about 5,000 feet. The reverse of that, with the satellite distribution, there's a 100% coverage. And so pilots, for instance, while they're warming up, are getting all of the latest information on board in their navigation systems. And by the time they take off, they've got METARs, TFRs, satellite and radar and everything at their fingertips. And so there's a major difference in the amount of information and the ability to actually receive that information.
It's my understanding that the actual data stream itself you will not be charged with on a monthly basis like you are for the XM data stream. That's what I meant.
And actually, the point I was trying to make is that if you have to spend $20,000 to get it free, the $29.95 a month, you could have 20 years of service before. Actually, I think it's more like 40 years of service. My math is not my long suit, but the cost is definitely there. And then the question is, what are you going to receive? And the free data is pretty limited. And it's not available until, 2015?
Right. So this is not a big threat to your business model at this point.
Actually, I think that the aviator has come to expect a whole lot more. When you're up there and you have integrated weather information and you've got high-resolution NEXTRAD data available in the cockpit for the whole United States, every 5 minutes you've got satellite information, you've got lightning information, neither of which is contemplated with ADS-B. You've got the TFRs, METARs, all of that instantly at your fingertips, and it costs you somewhere between $29 and $49 a month. I don't know that there are many pilots that will step down to what's going to be available on ADS-B.
5, 10, however many years ahead. Do you think that this technology will ever evolve to the point where it's so real-time and instantaneous that pilots could use it with the same degree of accuracy that airliners use their onboard weather radar?
I'm not sure that I totally agree with the basic premise. I'm not sure when strategic becomes tactical and when tactical becomes strategic. I've seen a lot of circumstances where somebody with an onboard radar, for instance, who has tactical capabilities cannot see a huge line of storms that are behind a couple of storms that he's painting on his radar, and it's gotten into major trouble trying to use live radar in a tactical type of circumstance. On the other side of the coin, I certainly agree that data link weather should not be used to thread the needle. It is a situational awareness tool, and there should be strategic flight decisions made as opposed to tactical. But I would also pose that even right now, with the use of data link weather, you don't put yourself into, that's the beauty of it. You don't put yourself into the tactical need to thread the needle. I get example after example of that, but we flew out of Oshkosh 2 years ago, and you know how they route you around Chicago airspace and then let you loose at Kankakee. We had filed for Memphis and then back home to Huntsville, and 45 minutes later when we got to Kankakee, we were looking, and the line of storms that had extended across Middle Tennessee and up into Kentucky was filling in rapidly back toward Memphis. And while we were in Kankakee, or over Kankakee, we changed our flight plan to Louisville and home. And that decision at that point, which was certainly strategic, cost us a grand total of 5 minutes of airtime. It got us home. We were able to round the bend on the line of storms in Louisville and get home within 5 minutes of what we planned. But Memphis was blocked. They had them stacked up over Memphis, and we would have had to have stopped and spent the night someplace short of Memphis because nobody was getting through that line of storms. So my sense is that the difference between strategic and tactical, that line is getting blurred. And yes, our company actually has the contract with the National Weather Service to upgrade all of the NextRad radars across the country. I'm really excited about the fact that we are not only distributing radar data to aviation, but we, in cooperation with the Weather Service, will be responsible for the manufacture of the next generation radar information. And it will provide us with better information, faster information, and I think that there will be some wonderful improvements in the type of information that's available to the pilot in the cockpit. But I don't think it will ever be used in this thread-the-needle type of sense. I'm not sure that threading the needle is a very good thing. I mean, most pilots would say, given the option, I'd rather be in a position to not thread a needle.
CEO of XM parent company Barron Services, Bob Barron Sr. And be sure and download part two of this series featuring Paul Devlin of WSI. Available now along with breaking general aviation news at avweb.com. IFR Refresher, packed with strategies and tactics from some of the nation's top CFIIs, airline captains, and corporate pilots who fly the system every day and really know what makes it tick. Learn more or subscribe at www.ifr-refresher.com.